However, what I can tell you is, having worked inside LinkedIn, having specifically served on the team that built out the alumni tool and university pages and all these things for student job seekers, I got a chance to see firsthand exactly how the algorithm works and look inside that black box. Every single day, there are recruiters across the world who are going to LinkedIn and searching for talent. And so you want to be on the top of their screen. And the first thing that every recruiter does, so you could literally go to ChatGPT today and say, hey, I just graduated with a degree in philosophy. I'm passionate about data. I'm really interested in learning to code. What are some jobs that would help me break into the tech industry?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a new podcast. Today, my special guest is Jeremy Schiefeling, who is an expert in LinkedIn. And I've also bought his amazing book on how to actually find your dream job on LinkedIn. So today, as you can already tell, today will be the topic of LinkedIn, how to find your dream job, maybe even a tech job, because most of the audience are like engineers listening to this podcast. So welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Yusuf.
Sure. Maybe first question, why did you come up with the idea of writing a book about LinkedIn?
Yeah, because it definitely is not a topic that a lot of people are very passionate about. But I think that's the opportunity, actually. The fact that LinkedIn has never gotten very much respect as a social network compared to Facebook and then Instagram and now TikTok means that there's a lot of opportunity left on the table for savvy job seekers or savvy entrepreneurs who know how to leverage it. And so the truth is that LinkedIn is a social network for us as consumers, but it's a tool for recruiters. It is the definitive tool, in fact, if you work at Google or Goldman Sachs or McKinsey or any great company in the world, you are prowling LinkedIn all the time to find talent, which means that for a savvy job seeker who builds a great profile, it's not just a fun place to build your brand, it's a way to get found, to get discovered for opportunity. And I would love to share some of those tips with your audience today.
Sounds super exciting. Why would people read your book in the first place? Like, who's Jeremy? Like, what is your background? Why are you a LinkedIn expert in the first place?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And so, you know, I think it is true that like with most things related to job seeking, there is a lot of what I would call very sketchy expertise out there that says, oh, this is the right way to do resumes or this is the wrong way to do cover letters. And it's not really founded in any kind of data so much as conventional wisdom. However, what I can tell you is having worked inside LinkedIn, having specifically served on the team that built out the alumni tool and university pages and all these things for student job seekers, I got a chance to see firsthand exactly how the algorithm works and look inside that black box. And what I discovered is it's not that fancy, it's not that sophisticated, but if your listeners sort of have a couple of rules of thumb in mind, they can actually take that algorithm, make it work for them, as opposed to vice versa. So that's what I want to share today.
Really cool. We always talk about the algorithm, but we really don't know like what is behind the black box. Can you maybe give us a few tips or maybe tips to the listeners? How can they actually leverage LinkedIn maybe in form of an active tool, maybe actively reaching out to people, or maybe passively like optimizing their profile, et cetera. Like how can we utilize LinkedIn and maybe become one of the 1% that stands out? Because if people listen to this podcast, they think listening only to this podcast and optimizing a few things on the LinkedIn profile gives them the competitive edge, but what actually gives them the, like be part of the 1% club, so to speak?
Absolutely, and that's the big question. So let me be honest with you. There are really two algorithms that every job seeker should be aware of. One is the computer algorithm that a LinkedIn or an applicant tracking system, which scans your resume, uses to even surface your candidacy, surface your resume or surface your profile. And then there's our human algorithm as recruiters and hiring managers in terms of once we see this list of candidates, who do we want to choose? So let's start with the first one. If you want to get found in the first place, just know that every single day there are recruiters across the world who are going to LinkedIn and searching for talent. And so you want to be on the top of their screen. And the first thing that every recruiter does is they don't show me someone with a CS degree from Stanford or who has an MBA from Harvard. They say, show me someone who can be a product manager or a software engineer or who knows Ruby or Python or whatever it is. It always starts with function. It always starts with these keywords that are related to what you can do, not just who you are. Yeah. And so the critical first step that job seekers have to take is, even if you're a student, even if you're still studying, that headline, that little piece of text right below your name is the most important section of your profile because LinkedIn's engineers are very savvy themselves and they know people love to game the system. They want to stuff their profile or their resume full of all these keywords, and that's relatively easy to do. The one place where it's harder is the headline because it's strictly limited to just 220 characters, shorter even than a tweet or an X or a thread or whatever it is these days. And so as a result, it's harder to game, it's more authentic, and it gets extra weight in the algorithm. And so if you were to look at your headline today and it says something like students studying computer science or, you know, business students studying marketing, that's nice, but it doesn't tell recruiters what you can do for them. So it must specify, I am seeking product manager roles. I am seeking software engineering roles. And that way, if I search for a software engineer or a product manager, I'm going to find your profile versus saying, oh, they're just a student. They have no relevance to this job search. So that is the number one thing. If you want to get found, always lead with what the recruiters are searching for, which is your function and what you can do for them.
I think that makes sense. This is kind probably one of the passive strategies, like changing the headline. What other passive strategies? Because I think about a LinkedIn profile more like as a marketing funnel, because you see the banner first, then the name, then maybe the title and a few other things. What other tips would you give? Maybe one of them would be maybe the creator mode. Is that one?
So interesting, because LinkedIn, like every tech company, is the master of what I'll call jazz hands. And that is, having been a marketer at LinkedIn and Google and all these places, we always say, hey, look over here. We've got something new and flashy. But the reality is that just like the Google algorithm still operates fundamentally the same way it did 20 years ago, and that's the primary driver of SEO success, the LinkedIn algorithm, which was built 20 years ago, is still the primary driver of LinkedIn discovery success. And so we can talk about creator mode, but let's just focus on the fundamentals first. So it's your headline, and then also think about it from the recruiter perspective. If you said, show me all the software engineers on LinkedIn, you're going to find millions of results. So now you have to apply additional filters to find the perfect engineer. And so, Yusuf, if you were a recruiter at Google or at Apple or any of these top companies, what would you be searching for beyond just software engineer? What would you look for?
Probably for a specific role.
Yeah, and specific skills, right?
Maybe skills as well, yeah, exactly.
Like, here we code with Go, here we code with Python, whatever it is. Yeah. And so then, because recruiters can filter for those individual skill sets, it's incumbent upon the job seeker that everywhere else in your profile, your about section, your experience section, your skill section, you must have multiple iterations of those exact keywords. Mm-hmm. And if your listeners are wondering, hey, Jeremy, you know, those are great examples, but what about my specific keywords? Always go to the source of truth. Don't just guess at it or hope and pray. Go right to what the recruiters have given you, which is the job description. And you can look through it manually, or better yet, take like 20 job descriptions you love, put them into ChatGPT and say, ChatGPT, what are the 10 most important keywords across all of these jobs that I want? And it will do a really good job of pulling out all of those things, whether it's R, SQL, whatever it is. So you now have a cheat sheet of these are the skills that I must incorporate over and over again to rise to the top of those search rankings. So that's number two.
Yep. And then what other strategies would you recommend if we scroll lower in the profile, whether that's, for example, how do I get a recommendation maybe from my old peers? Is that something you would also probably advise people to do, like getting a recommendation or like a hey, it was nice working with you 20 years ago, whatever, or like 10 years ago, depending how old you are. Is this like a trick that you would use also when using a job?
Yeah, for a job? This is the perfect segue because we've talked a lot about the computer algorithm so far. Now let's talk about that human algorithm. So here I am, I've searched for software engineer, SQL, R, whatever, and I have all these candidates, but I still have to decide, hey, I only really have 5 interview slots or so. How am I going to choose from these top 100 who deserves them? And now here's where sort of our human biases come in. The first thing is, no recruiter in the world would admit this, but we are incredibly driven by visuals. The profile photo, the cover photo that sits at the top of your profile. In eye tracking studies, time and again, our eyes linger on those images versus all the text. And so you absolutely have to have a profile photo. You're 14 times more likely to be chosen by a recruiter if you do. And then in terms of what makes a great profile photo, it comes back to human nature. We're all looking for sort of visual proxies for collegiality, friendliness, all the things we value in a colleague. And so I want it to be closely cropped around your face, not someone else's arm and shoulder in there. I want it to be communicating the right signals sort of visually. So there's a lot of study around what's called a Duchenne smile, which is essentially when your autonomic nervous system fires because you're genuinely happy. So you have a little dimpling in the cheeks, sort of a little upturn in the lips, a little wrinkling around the eyes, as opposed to a Botox smile where you're smiling in your teeth, but nowhere else. And that comes across as very fake. So make sure it feels authentically genuine. And then finally, make sure that you represent the tribe that you want to be a part of. You know, if you want to be a McKinsey consultant, I want to see a suit on. I want to see the fact that I can put you in front of some stodgy CEO to represent our firm. Whereas if you're going to work at a hot startup in Soma in San Francisco, if I see a suit, you're automatically out of the running because you're not going to fit our culture. So make sure that you represent the fact that you're already an insider, even if you're still knocking on the door trying to get inside. So that's the profile photo. And then for the cover photo, that thing that sits at the very top of your page, don't just leave it gray. That's a big waste of visual real estate. Go to a site like Pexels or Pixabay and find a royalty-free photograph that emphasizes your brand. Maybe your brand is focused on a specific function. So for example, you're a product manager, you want to showcase like a whiteboard. You're working on something that's really visual, going through a flowchart. Maybe you're a coder. You choose a visual of that language, you know, being implemented on the screen. And that way, when the recruiter lands there, even at a deep subconscious level, they instantly get this person's friendly because of their profile photo. They fit what I'm looking for because of this cover photo. I'm already 80% of the way to choosing them before I even look at anything else. So start with the images.
That's a really good tip, Jeremy. Appreciate it. And then we go maybe to the active methods, like reaching out to people actively on LinkedIn, maybe sending them a DM, sending them a connection request. What are some of the best practices here?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, know why you're reaching out. You know, so often we are taught at an early age, oh, it's all about networking. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And then we find ourselves blindly communicating with total randos on LinkedIn, wondering, why are we doing this? So always have a goal in mind. I think the two main goals for job seekers in particular, although this could be applied to entrepreneurs and anyone else, is number one, curiosity and learning. And number two is access to opportunity. So let's take those one at a time. If you are starting your career or thinking about a pivot, you just want to figure out what's out there. So often we make the mistake of only doing what we know and then being really unhappy because we never discovered there were so many other paths that might have been better for us. So take the time to do this. Search for your alma mater on LinkedIn, wherever you went to school. It doesn't matter whether it's in the US or the EU or in Asia, you will find your university on LinkedIn because I worked on those pages. And then inside that university page, you'll see this little tab that says alumni. Now it's kind of hidden away, like all the best things on LinkedIn are. But if you click on that, you now have an entire alumni directory for your university that I guarantee you is more detailed than even your alumni department knows about, because people share more information with LinkedIn than they do with their own school. And there you could search for, show me everyone who's in machine learning. Show me everyone who's in generative AI. Show me anyone who's a data scientist. If those are paths you're interested in, find someone who has something in common with you, like a school, and then reach out with a personalized connection message. By the way, you do not need LinkedIn Premium. You can just send them a personalized note for free without paying a cent. And then emphasize what you share. I'm a current student at X. I just graduated from Y. I would love to learn from your experience. Is there any chance you have even 10 minutes to share your expertise with me next week? And you lower the bar, you make it really easy to get your foot in the door. And now you can really pick their brain and understand what it's like on the inside versus just reading a million blog posts and never getting your own questions answered.
Absolutely. I wanted to maybe take one step back, and you talked about LinkedIn Premium. I think there's also a misconception that if you have LinkedIn Premium, you might be more successful in a job search. Is that like a myth, or would you say it's partially true?
Yeah, so LinkedIn has data to that effect. Like you're 2 times more likely to be hired or something. Mm-hmm. But let's think about correlation versus causation, right? What are the confounding factors here? If you're dropping $100 a month for LinkedIn Premium, chances are you are in a hurry to get hired. You're in a hurry to stop paying for LinkedIn Premium. And so you're probably more motivated. Because the reality is this, I want to be really frank with your listeners. Even though LinkedIn might like you to believe that similar to Google or Indeed or these other sites, you can buy your way to the top of the recruiter search, nothing could be further from the truth. LinkedIn makes 10 times more money from recruiters than it does from job seekers. Recruiters are its number one audience. It will never do anything to anger recruiters. And so putting you on the top, even if you're less qualified, would absolutely drive recruiters crazy and kill their cash cow. So you cannot buy your way to the top. The only thing that LinkedIn Premium is genuinely good for is a couple of interesting insights here and there as you go through different pages. But in terms of the really valuable things on LinkedIn, being discovered, finding amazing people to reach out to, engaging with them, you can do all of that absolutely free, no premium required.
Yeah. Also, I want to talk about maybe a bit of a critical topic. We've talked about this before the podcast. Kind of, I had 128 ahead emphasis on had 128,000 followers on LinkedIn, posting science content, marketing content, these kind of things, and product marketing related stuff. And then for some reason, I posted a physics post last week, and it has been taken down, and quote unquote, it was a severe violation of the community guidelines. So what tips would you give people maybe to not go against these community guidelines? Because I've read them, and there was no way that I was going against the community guidelines. Have they made any changes? It's like an AI algorithm detecting maybe fraudulent behavior from people. How does this actually work? And why did it happen maybe to me? Do you have some insights there?
Yeah. You know what I think is happening right now, just reading the tea leaves, is that LinkedIn is trying to say, hey, compared to X, compared to what's going on with TikTok, we are the safe and well-lit place. And so they become even more overzealous in policing it. And of course, there's no way to police these except through AI, except through making guesses about what's abusive behavior. So unfortunately, you got caught up in that. That being said, here's the reality. Unfortunately, LinkedIn was not immune to the tech layoffs that have swept our industry the past year. And of course, in true stupid fashion, ended up laying off a huge chunk of their customer support team, the very people who could help you solve those problems. And so I've heard multiple reports at this point of people having a really hard time getting their accounts back or reinstated. That being said, here's a hack. And those will not necessarily help with the followers. But if you ever have your account compromised and you were just getting nowhere with customer support, know that you can quickly replicate your account, including your connections, by going to the My Network tab at the top of the page and then importing your email address books. Because even though you might think, oh my goodness, all of my connections, all of my network was stored in LinkedIn and now it's gone, the people who are really close to you, who are really important to you, are already in Gmail or already in Outlook or wherever you keep them. And so if you upload that CSV, you can quickly overnight get back in touch and reconnect with thousands and thousands of people who are very important to you. And so I know it's a small solace in the face of what you face, Yusuf, but for any of your listeners, if you've lost your network or lost your profile, that is probably the fastest way to get rebooted as of today.
Really good tip. We might talk about it after the podcast again, because it's kind of a severe case. It was kind of a weird behavior from the LinkedIn side. But yeah, what's really cool, Jeremy, is you mentioned ChatGPT, and I want to talk about the topic of AI a bit and how it can help maybe students, people who look for a job, help maybe get that job that they dream of. Maybe a few tips from your side. I know you've recorded a video on how to use, maybe make it your personal interview coach, something like that. Maybe you can give us a few insights how you can actually leverage ChatGPT for your job search.
Yeah, so ChatGPT and LinkedIn are kind of like peanut butter and jelly. They just go perfectly together. And the reality is that LinkedIn is good for when you have a specific goal in mind, like we were just talking about. But what if you're not even sure what to consider? Like, what if you're like, hey, I just graduated, I have some random degree, what am I going to do with my life? The beautiful thing about ChatGPT is it is so good at getting you unstuck. So you could literally go to ChatGPT today and say, hey, I just graduated with a degree in philosophy, I'm passionate about data, I'm really interested in learning to code, what are some jobs that would help me break into the tech industry? And then we'll give you 10 awesome career paths that you may never have heard of, but that actually fit that profile. And then once you have those specific job titles in mind, now you go back to LinkedIn and you find the actual people to learn about those paths. So again, really complimentary. And the same is true throughout the process. You know, if you have a LinkedIn profile and you're worried, is this really optimized? Does this really fit what I'm trying to send out there? Paste it into ChatGPT and say, hey, would this kind of LinkedIn profile get me found by recruiters for product manager roles, software engineering roles, data science roles, whatever it is? If not, tell me 5 changes to make that will help make me more visible. And it tends to be pretty good at saying, hey, your headline is missing product manager. Your about section doesn't have these keywords. And so that's a really effective way to upgrade that. And then finally, even at the interview stage, you can, of course, use ChatGPT to generate interview questions. You could say, here's the job description I want. Now predict the 10 most likely questions. And then here's the cool hack. Come back to LinkedIn, go to the job section at the top. And even though it's kind of buried, there's a section on the left called interview prep. And if you were to click on that, you will now have your own AI interview coach, not just for generating questions, but for evaluating your answers, which is the hardest part. And so you can record yourself, you can see how you're coming across, and then get AI coaching on, are you speaking too fast? Are you monotone? Are you using those verbal crutches like or a that detract from your communication? And all that is free right there inside LinkedIn.
Really, really good tips. Now, the question obviously arises, like, shout already the book, Jeremy, of you and your co-author. You gave us so many tips. Why would anyone get the book in the first place? Like, what tips are hidden in this book, and who should actually read it or buy it in the first place?
You could probably suspect that I am such a nerd about this topic that I feel like we could go for 3 or 4 hours, Youssef, talking about these things. That being said, I don't really feel compelled to someone to necessarily go out and buy the book. What I want you to do is I want you to feel confident that you have control over your destiny. I think the most detrimental thing when it comes to job searching, or probably many facets of life, is you feel like, hey, my life is out of my control. I am just tossed to the winds, tossed to fate, and I can't guide my own destiny. And the thing that I really love about LinkedIn is it says, you know what? There is a lot of that out of control. There's a lot that luck has to play. But at the end of the day, if you feel stuck, if you're not happy where you are, if you know that you're capable of something much more impactful in your life, you have tools at your disposal to guide your own ship, including finding that right path, crafting a story that attracts people to come to you, even getting that job in the final stage. And so I don't want anyone to come away from this interview and think, oh my goodness, Jeremy has it great, Youssef has it great, I can't have it great. No way, no. Everyone can have it great. And it's not about buying a book, it's about just learning about what you can do to own your own destiny.
I really love that. Do you think it's more like an intrinsic motivation from your end, or more like extrinsic motivation? Or is it like maybe a combination of both? While you have written this book, you give also away a lot of good resources. I think I subscribe to your newsletter as well. Like, you do a lot of stuff for the community. Where does this motivation come from, Jeremy?
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. So I was just hearing Simon Sinek interviewed by Scott Galloway in a recent podcast. And, you know, Simon Sinek is famous for this TED Talk, The Power of Why, you know, what makes Apple more successful than Dell or other companies. And he was saying that in addition to companies having a why, people have a why that's often driven by their experiences earlier in life. And I was thinking about my own experiences. So I grew up in the city of Buffalo, New York. For anyone who knows it, it's a pretty sort of blue collar city, very sort of like trying to bounce back from this Rust Belt age. And to a lot of people, again, there was a feeling of being stuck. Like, they had trained to become factory workers or welders, and all of a sudden all these jobs dried up and now there was no opportunity and their lives had sort of come to a standstill. And that sort of created this fire inside me that felt like no one should ever have to feel that way. Our lives are too short, too scarce to waste them feeling like we're on the sidelines of our own careers and our own destinies. And I just felt like ever since then, if I can do even one little thing to push someone out of that bog and into that power where they can drive their own chariot, that is well worth it.
I really, really love that. Where can people find more information about you, Jeremy? Maybe some of the resources. Obviously, I'll put the link to the book down in the description. And we talked about the ChatGPT like kind of helper bot also in the description. Maybe something else you would people to have a look at. Maybe your blog, newsletter, what else?
Yeah. So if you want to get any of these free resources, I've got like a LinkedIn profile checklist and a little guide to get your LinkedIn profile really optimized. It's all free. It's at thejobinsiders.com.
Perfect. Amazing. And maybe kind of a last question is, do you think there's a tool, probably there is a tool, obviously, that recruiters use, kind of an AI tool, maybe to kind of scan resumes? And do you have tips to resumes, maybe 5 tips for a resume to make sure it doesn't fall through the filters of that AI tool that recruiters use?
Yes, I have really good news for your listeners, because they're probably thinking, ah, I just can't take any more of these tips. It's too overwhelming. The really good news is the applicant tracking systems, these fancy databases that recruiters use to capture your resumes when you apply online, are powered by the exact same logic as LinkedIn itself, which is all about keywords, all about matching you with the job description. Mm-hmm. And so if you've already invested in making your profile compatible with the specific jobs you want, the same exact techniques will make sure that your resume rises up inside the ATS. So as you build out your CV, always make sure that the job title you want is right there at the top, and then make sure that all the keywords straight from the job description are littered throughout your resume, from your summary to your experience to your skills. I know it sounds so simple, but remember that ATSs and LinkedIn, they're not powered by fancy ChatGPT AI. This is AI from 2 decades ago that is about pure pattern matching. And if you can match the patterns the recruiters have set inside the job description, you will be golden.
Amazing. We talked about this kind of this 1% club in the beginning of the podcast. Maybe a follow-up question to that would be, we follow now all these tips. Let's say 100 people listen to this podcast, maybe even more, thousands of people listen to this podcast. They do the tips. They are basically all at the same level when it comes to LinkedIn. How can you actually stand out now in a very competitive field? Like, how can you become like the 1% of the 1%? What can you do as a student or maybe someone who's more experienced?
Yeah. So here's the good news. First of all, I would love for us to have a problem where all of a sudden, because everyone's doing this, it becomes less useful. The reality is, and I learned this the hard way at LinkedIn, the vast majority of people just do not have, I don't know whether it's the interest or the focus to really invest in this. I think we often mentally categorize job searching as so painful, kind of akin to going to the dentist. We know we have to do it, but we don't want to do it. But as a result, that if you just invest 1 hour making your profile or your resume more optimized based on these tips, you will automatically be in that top 1%. But if you want to be in the 1% of the 1%, then I think you get into that proactive space that you talked about, Yusuf, which is, you know, the very best people I know don't just say, okay, I have a great profile and it sits there static. They're the ones who are constantly building new networks, building new connections. And what I've discovered myself, even as an introvert, is that 20 years into my career, I am now reaping all the fruits of having planted networking seeds a decade ago. As an example, I just had my former boss at LinkedIn, who I've stayed in touch with through LinkedIn since we parted ways, come and speak with my team at Khan Academy to share her expertise. She's now a CMO at a startup in the Bay Area. And I think if you recognize the fact that careers are long and winding, and we often cross paths again and again, even if it feels tedious today, plant those seeds, because you will be absolutely blown away by how much the fruits of your labors pay off down the road.
That would also probably mean like maybe starting your own blog, maybe starting a Twitter account, things like that. It's probably also good for your social footprint.
That's right. And I think, you know, it obviously depends on how you're wired, what motivates you. But I do think that there was this piece of advice from Nathan Barry, who runs another startup called ConvertKit, which is, if you just share everything you learn, you will give so many gifts to the world. And there is such a powerful feeling of reciprocity in our species. We just love when someone shares their hard-earned wisdom with us, that will come back to you many times over. So as your listeners discover new things in tech, new things in coding, new things in careers, share that, whether it's on LinkedIn or blog or wherever. I promise you, it will be all to your own benefit over time, because that is the power of sort of building up the collective wisdom of our species.
Well, with that, I think we can wrap it up, Jeremy. You shared your hard-earned wisdom with us in today's podcast, like very condensed in 25 minutes, so many tips, and I'm sure hopefully there will be a second part in the future, Jeremy, who knows. But again, I'll put every link down in the description so people can check out your book, your website, your courses even. Maybe closing words from your side, some motivating words, Jeremy, to the listeners.
Yeah. So here we are in the summer of 2023. And what I want you to know is that no matter what happens next, you know, there's all these questions about the economy and politics, and the world has sort of got all these challenges in it. Just know that in the midst of all that, you have more power than you realize right at your fingertips. You have these incredible tools we've discussed. You have incredible people in your network like Yusuf who are rooting for your success. And if you want to build a better life, if you want to take on some of the challenges our world is facing, you have access to those opportunities more than you probably ever realize. And I hope that you seize that moment.
That's going to be a separate motivating clip on my channel, Jeremy. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you in the second part soon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Yusuf.